the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
That's what happens when I preach.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I'm going to ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
My mind is going. 7 o'clock, Jared, wake up there!
What? We're going.
AWOL.
Did you guys not hear it? We're live. We're going. You're on.
Jared.
Can you hear me?
It is strangely dark out here. The sun should be up. It's nowhere in sight.
It's the longest night of the year.
Yeah. Right?
It's the longest night of the year. It's this winter solstice.
Yep.
Or whatever they call that. Where the heck is he?
Can you all not hear me?
We can hear you.
He's asking. No, no, no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, we hear you. Yes, ma'am.
No, I can't hear Jared. No, I don't hear Jared.
Yeah, no,
you said we are live.
We're live now, Jared said. Well, my God, folks, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties here. We're just chewing the fat with each other and realized that we were on the air. So if that seemed a little bit unprofessional, we apologize for being a little bit unprofessional. Sarah was saying up there in the New York area, way up high in New York, it's really, really dark. Well, it's really, really dark because this was the shortest day of the year or the longest night of the year, depending on how you want to look at it. The first day of winter, November 21st, I'm sorry, December 21st is the beginning of winter. It's the shortest day of the year. So we're into the 22nd, and I tell everybody spring is coming, 87 days away. Spring will be here, and we are gathering daylight every day. And remember, I shared with you guys earlier that the day when God created, it was the evening and then the morning, that the day begins at sundown. It doesn't begin at sunup. It doesn't begin. So God always moves from darkness unto light. I got to share this. My wife made me bring this with me this morning. Hey, welcome. Pass the salt. We're going to have us a great rocking morning this morning here. I don't know if you guys can see this thing. This is a little, it's a little tile. And my wife went to an event. I'm trying to figure out how I can get it so you can read it, the light. Anyway. One out. It's like their message for the year from the Lord. You know how that goes. And so she reaches in this whole pile of 100 and 200 of these tile and reaches in and pulls out her tile. Rich, this is for you. This is for us. You know what it says on it? On my wife's tile. It says Army. Army. A unit trained and armed for war. Isaiah 43. Is that unbelievable? That sweet little wife of mine, she came home, brought home some marching orders for us. An army, a unit trained and armed for war. That's kind of veering me into where I want to go. Because can I tell you the truth? I don't have much of a Christmas spirit. And I'm going to tell you why I don't have much of a Christmas spirit. I'm sick and tired of us treating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as a baby in a manger. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Jesus is the reason for the season. Coach, Jesus is the reason for the season. Merry Christmas. And I'd say, yeah, what does that mean? Jesus is the reason for the season. Are you going to give me the salvation story? I understand the salvation story. I get all that, but I'm going to tell you something. The salvation story doesn't come till Easter. It doesn't come till he goes to the tomb. And it tells us in 1 John 8, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so when we say that Jesus is the reason for the season, Rich, what does that mean? He's the reason for the season. Well, they say, well, he came to save us from our sins. Well, of course he did. But he came to destroy the works of the devil. And I'm going to shock you here, going to make some enemies. Jesus didn't die just for little old you. He didn't. Your salvation is a byproduct of the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. I'm going to give you a real short Bible lesson here, and then we're going to move on to where we're going to. Because I'm going to tell you, there's some of you listening to me right now who don't even understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't even get it. You don't get it. So let me give it to you real quick so that you do get it. We're born into sin. God created man, breathing in the breath of life. Man became a living soul. And man rebelled against God. And God cast man out of the garden. And so we go 2,000 years trying to follow the rules and regulations of religion, Jewish religion, whatever you want to call it, try to follow all these rules and regulations. And we found out that we couldn't follow all the rules and regulations. And God, in his infinite wisdom, is looking up there and understanding because of sin, we are out of relationship with God. No matter how many goats you killed, no matter how many bulls you stabbed, no matter how many sacrifices you made, you couldn't come into right relationship with God. In fact, the only ones who could do it was the priests. And he had to go into the Holy and Holies with a rope around his foot, because if things got rough, they were able to pull him out and try to save him. You could not approach God. And why couldn't you approach God? Because we had yielded our members. We had yielded our religion. We had yielded the world that God created. We had yielded it to the devil. We'd given it up to him. So Jesus, through a process that only God can make happen, realizing that there was no way we were ever going to be able to come back in right relationship with God. His creation was no way he's going to be able to do it. He created a perfect seed, came through a Virgin Mary. Jesus died on the cross. Now, before he died on the cross, he's born in Bethlehem of Judea and was raised as a babe. And they came, the wise men came. We all know the Christmas story. We all get caught up in the rigmarole of that. And we go to live manger scenes, and we do all that stuff, a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, and we miss the whole meaning of what the heck is going on. See, God sent Jesus, hear me, to reconcile the world unto himself. God did not send Jesus to save you. He came to reconcile the world unto itself. Now, what does it mean to reconcile? Reconcile is a accounting term. It's a math term. To balance your books is to reconcile. You owe this, somebody pays this, it's been reconciled. The bill has been reconciled. So Jesus came to reconcile the world unto himself, which means what? The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin, the soul that sins, it shall die. So therefore, we were under a curse of death. And when Jesus came, he delivered us from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? The soul that sins, it shall die. Every one of us born into a flesh suit are sinners. We become sinners. And it only takes one sin to condemn you to hell. At least that's what the scriptures teach, right? So there was no way that we were going to get there. So Jesus comes as a perfect sacrifice, born to a virgin, into a manger, grows to an adult, gets crucified to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. Now, what are the works of the devil? Well, the devil came and he destroyed. He stole. He stole what was rightfully belonged to God. And God said, okay, it's about time to get this thing straight. I'm going to send my son down there, and he's going to reconcile the world. And how's he going to reconcile the world? The wages of sin is death. The only way the payment can be made for sin is somebody's got to die. So Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, came and died on the cross and reconciled the books. And Jesus was without sin, because he had to be without sin, because if he had sinned, he would be dying for his own sins. You follow me? Everybody follow me out there? So he was a perfect sacrifice. He was the ultimate Lamb of God, sacrificed his own son, that sin would be destroyed in the world. Now, when Jesus died and was crucified, resurrected, he sent his Holy Spirit that we would now be able, he who was in you, with you, should now be in you. Okay? So when Jesus came, the whole gospel of Jesus Christ is this. God came, paid the price of sin. You were a sinner in need of a savior. And unless somebody squares up your books, unless somebody pays your debt, you are going to pay the price. The wages of sin is death. Jesus reconciled the world unto himself. Jesus paid the ultimate price. You with me? Everybody with me so far? So when you hear people talk about, well, Jesus came, died for our sins, that we can have a relationship with him. That's true, but that ain't it. That is not it. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, and he would destroy the works of the devil. So the only way that you can relationship with Almighty God is not by behaving, not by following rules and regulations, not by helping your neighbor, not by giving, putting holy water on and making the sign of the cross, not by putting on a funny hat, not by doing any of that stuff. The only way that you can come into a right relationship with God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's like this. Christ already paid the price. But unless you apply that price to you, it doesn't matter. It's like we all go to a pizza party. We all go there. And when we're done eating pizza, I stand up and say, hey, I got the tab. I'll pay for everybody. And some guy sitting over here in the corner, he doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. And he has to walk up. Whenever the place is empty, I find out, we walk outside. This one guy over here all by himself, he paid his own bill. I said, why'd you do that? Well, I paid the bill. He said, well, nobody said anything to me, so I paid it myself. I said, oh, that's so stupid. I have it covered. So see, Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price. He reconciled your sin. He's cleared the books. But if you don't know it, and you don't ask him to be part of that bill paying thing, if you can just sit over there, you get to pay your own bill. You get to pay your own bill. But there is a price that comes with that. And here's the price that comes with it. You've been bought. Say that again. You've been bought. Jesus bought you off. And the Bible says that when you receive him, you're a slave to him. He's bought you. You've been bought with a price. You are now his. And the idea that Jesus came on that cross and died, that we can sit around and give presents to each other under a tree. Are you kidding me? Now, hang on. Why? Why did Jesus die on that cross? Because he's reconciling the world unto himself. And for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest. He's going to destroy the works of the devil. So therefore, if I'm reconciled to God, I belong to him. I belong to him. And see, you can go to church. You can go sit in a church your whole life. You can sing all the songs, and you can be a lector and read the Bible verses. And you can be an usher, and you can count the money afterwards. And none of that going to do you any good. Because you're going to have to, at some point, you're going to have to ask yourself, have I ever got on his list? Have I ever asked him to pay my bill for me? And most people sitting in church don't even get that, see. They know Jesus died on the cross. They know he came as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, but they have no connection to their own life and the liberty and the power that was given to them as a result of that seat. And so I'm sick and tired here. If you're out there right now and you're just playing church and you have never come to a point in your life where you realize, my butt is grass. My butt's grass. I'm going to have to go stand before the judge. My butt is grass. And if you've never come to the point where you've come to the Lord and said, hey, Lord, man, I am so sorry. Can I get on that reservation list? Will you write my name in that book of life? Will you do that for me? And then he says, yes, and you receive Christ as your Savior. You better realize this. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you got to stop doing all this tomfoolery stuff that you used to be doing. You have to stop doing it. And not only do you have to just stop doing that, you not only have been adopted into a family, you're part of an army. And part of the army that you are now in is to annihilate the works of the devil. And our job here on earth is not to sit around and celebrate Christmas and giving presents to everybody and talk about the love of God and love of Jesus. Yes, all of that is important. But our job is to aid the Lord in doing what? Destroying the works of the devil. We are his. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Don't explain how, but not I. Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Why did he die and give himself for me? Just because I'm so special, just a special old me, and he wanted to give me a big house and a big car and happy family and health and wealth. Is that what it was? No! Come back to the origin, to destroy the works of the devil. And it tells us in the book of Genesis that he would put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, and there would be an eternal battle being played out, and we happen to be in the fourth quarter of that battle. our churches are full of people who have never been reconciled to the Lord. That's some of you watching right now. You just as religious as can be. No, and you're mad that I say damn every once in a while, and you're mad that I'm harsh. You're mad about all the wrong stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. When the crap hits the fan, you're going to be glad I'm here. Hey, Rich, they're going to be glad I'm here when the crap hits the fan, because I am raising up an army. We are raising up an army, and we are going to fight against the forces of darkness to try to protect the innocent people around us. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come to let me go to heaven. That's not why he came. That is a byproduct of his salvation. So I want to say to you here on this Christmas Eve, as we're moving up on Christmas, take a deeper evaluation of what it means, what you would do for someone who gave their life for you, the eternal gratitude you would have in your life. If you wrecked your car against a tree and it caught on fire and some guy comes and rescues you out of that fire and saves your life, the eternal gratitude that you would have. And every time that guy called you, you would do whatever he asked you to do because you would be so grateful. Well, that is what Christ did for you. And he asked us to be his witnesses here in Jerusalem and Judea to the uttermost parts of the world. You can read that Bible over and over and over and over and over. And you can find the blessings of God all throughout that Bible. But you know what you're going to find more than anything? You're going to find obedience to him and obedience to his word and laying down your life. It's a self-sacrifice Savior that we have. He sacrificed himself. He says, how about you sacrificing yourself? And what's the result? They're going to hate you. They're going to make all fun of you. Your family's going to hate you. That is what happens through salvation and adoption into a new family. And I'm talking to hundreds of you right now. You ain't never been saved. You ain't never been born again because you think your life's about you. And the only reason you came to Jesus is because you found somebody who loves you as much as you do.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Jesus came to save the world, but he's not your Savior until first you make him your Lord.
That's it, brother. That the world through him might be saved, right? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Look throughout the Bible. Just think about this thing. If it's an eternal conflict, what role are you playing in advancing the kingdom of God? Because the scriptures tell us that the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I'm going to tell you something. The God ain't going down. He's going up, man. He ain't going down. He's going up. Now, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what role are we playing? When this big celebration comes at the end, is the big celebration going to be that we made it to heaven? Oh, let's rejoice we made it to be heaven. Or is the big celebration going to be that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He proved it, man. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our God won. That's going to be the celebration. Not that you made it to heaven. That you get to go sit on his lap, listen to the angels sing. Dang, what's wrong with us? I should be nicer, but I'm telling you, if we could ever get a hold of what God really wants to do through us, we'd transform the world. Are you saved? Say, saved from what? Saved from eternal hell. Have you reconciled? Have you reconciled your debt? Have you let God pay that debt? So listen, you say, yeah, Coach, I have. Well, then quit running up more debt, will you? Burn the credit card. Act like you're a child of the king. Quit acting like a fool. Quit thinking you're the most important thing ever was born. Amen. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest. It was only when I got up. Huh? Huh? That's what I'm going to be celebrating. That's what I'm celebrating this weekend. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. And he let me be on his team. Are you kidding me? He adopted me in his family. See, it ain't like getting adopted into a human family where you can still be rambunctious and rebellious and do whatever the heck you want to do. No, 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 no. You lay down your life. You're a dead man. You're a dead man. So if you're a dead man, you don't care what those other folks are saying. Somebody bail me out here and they'll get where we're going. Anybody want to tiptoe into that one? No, because that won't fill Christmas Eve church message.
Hey, I say bring it on. Bring it on, Coach.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
DC, I think some of the guys ought to tie a rope on us.
On our ankles so they can pull us back down to that thing, right? Huh? Yeah. Well, hey, listen, Rich, it don't matter because I'm a dead man anyway. You understand what I'm saying? And here's what I'm sick of. I'm sick of this. I'm sorry, Tim. I'm going to get to you. I promise. I'm sick. I'm sick of Christians being bullied. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of us being bullied and thinking that's Christ-like. Because when they bully you, they're bullying the Lord. How do I know? Because you're a dead man. You've been crucified with Christ. You're dead. And when they bully you and bully what you believe in, they're bullying the Lord. We're letting them get away with it. Hey, Jared, pull up that commentary from News with Views. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to show you something that's been going on. See, the enemy does to us. No, no. He accuses us of doing what he does. The enemy accuses us of doing what he does. And we let him do it. And we cower and say, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Listen, I embrace the hate. I embrace it. You understand? And I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes bullying ain't a bad thing. I'm sorry. Sometimes it's not a bad thing. My goodness. Pull that up there, Jared. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. But I do. I want to read some of this to you. I call it Popeye Meets the Bullies. I've had all I can stands and I can't stands no more. Anybody there yet? Are any of you there yet? For the sake of your children, the sake of the Christ you claim to serve, are any of you there yet? Had all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. I don't want to read the first part of this, Jared. I want to get down to the bullying part of it. Get down, it's the last part of it. I'm just going to run through these really quickly. Boy, I posted it right there. My email's blown up. You ought to see the amens I'm getting from guys like us laying out in their hinterland that are sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of it. Okay, here we go. Permit me to refresh your memory of some of the left's more egregious disregard of democracy. I start out talking about the greatest gift I got this year was not nothing under my tree. It was getting rid of those scallions in Washington, D.C., the Obamas and the Clintons, getting rid of all them God haters, getting rid of them. It's the greatest gift anybody could ever give. Then they call us bullies and they're out there whining and moaning and they didn't get their way and they're sucking on the thumb and they're trying to cheat here and trying to cheat there and trying to cheat. And the church couldn't care less. Church just letting them cheat. Just letting them cheat. Oh, pray about it. Just pray about it. We ought to be out crushing his enemies. We ought to be out destroying his enemies. Rich made the comment. See this? Sign me. This is what happens when I preach. The church empties. Because I ask him to do something. I ask him to play. Quit watching and start playing. Quit rooting for the Buckeyes and get on the field. So here's what the left has done to us, see? Talk about bullying. They bullied little babies in the womb. They bullied those who oppose abortion and them paying for it with our tax dollars. They bullied bakers into making cakes for homos. They bullied county clerks into violating their consciences. They bullied school districts to silence prayers before football games. They bullied school districts to remove the Ten Commandments. They bullied politicians into changing laws to accommodate deviant sex. They bullied parents into permitting their children to be taught homosex was normal. They bullied churches into accepting their sin. They bullied into silence anyone who opposed their sin. They bullied Americans into accepting Obamacare. They bullied us into accepting the criminalization of free speech by calling it hate. They bullied us into forfeiting our God-given right to hate. They bullied us into forfeiting our right to freely speak of Jesus. They bullied us into putting Muhammad on equal footing with Jesus. They bullied us and restricted our religious beliefs to inside the church building. They bullied us into closing our coal mines. They bullied us into reducing fossil fuel use. They bullied us into the acceptance of mass immigration, mass Islamic invasion. They bullied us into paying for those migrants. They bullied us into accepting race as an excuse for immoral behavior. They bullied us into changing the meanings of our holidays. They bullied Jesus right out of his own birthday. Keep going, Jared. I can feel this, boys. I'm getting it off my chest. You may not like it, but I'm feeling pretty good. They bullied us into accepting the killing of police officers. They bullied us into accepting terrorism as a natural hazard of life. They bullied us into permitting the courts to make law. They bullied us to accept that the Supreme Court was above the supreme being. On down, Jared. I'm feeling this. They bullied us into believing that our rights came from government. They bullied us into accepting that all cultures and all values are equal. They bullied us into believing that America was a democracy. They bullied us into believing that white people are privileged. They bullied us into believing that our leaders were above the law. They bullied us into believing that the mainstream news was honest. They bullied us into accepting a fraudulent presidential birth certificate. Well, I'm so glad the bullies are gone. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Popeye finally voted them out. Pass the spinach. That's what I'm feeling on this Christmas season. Say, Coach, you're full of rage. No, I'm not. I wish you'd get a little bit more ticked off, be honest with you. I'm full of righteous indignation that we have the audacity to worship that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and cower in the face of the evil that he came to destroy. I'm done with that one. They bullied us out of Easter's tap. Yeah, they did bully. Wake up, church. Okay, anybody want to say anything? I'll move on here. Because I set Tim up to do a teaching here on Romans, and I don't know if I'm going to get to it because I won't shut up long enough to get to it. I'm tired of the bullies. I'm tired of it. Hey, Rich, I made a determination today to my wife that I'm going to become more bold in my speech. I'm going to become more direct in those who are in sin. I'm going to become more direct. I'm going to call them out more for their wishy-washy following of Jesus. I'm going to call them out more. It's the greatest love that I can because I love my Lord and Savior more than I love them. And I'm not going to deny the Lord. He said, if you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And every time we soften his message, we deny him. I ain't going to be part of it.
Dave, I made the same statement to my wife yesterday.
Amen. Amen. So you're going to stand before the Lord and say, Lord said, well, why didn't you speak up and do something about it? Say, oh, well, I didn't really want to offend my brother, Lord. I didn't want to come across as hateful and bigoted. Really? Have you read the Bible? There is nothing more black and white than this thing. Nothing more black and white than this. And we hide behind all the colors of gray. Believe it or not, my message today is one of encouragement. Good stuff's going to happen. Tomorrow, let me get this in before I forget. Tomorrow morning, we're going to do something a little different on here. I know there are a lot of you out there who are listening, watching, whatever. You don't make it in here on the queue. Tomorrow, we're going to have, tomorrow morning, we're opening, I'm knocking some of these dudes out. Say, get out of here. Let some other people get in. And tomorrow, we would like you to come in. And you can talk about whatever's on your heart. You can talk about Christmas, a Christmas experience that you had, how your life has been changed, but whatever, a chance for you to testify. You know, Coach, I've been laying out here in the weeds for a year, been listening, and I've never had either the courage to get on or whatever, didn't want to get on. Tomorrow's your day. And we're going to show you how easily tomorrow we're going to let these guys come on. Maybe they'll say something, and then they're going to leave, and we're going to let you log in and just brag on the Lord or brag on what you see, what's going on, or just clear your heart about what you think is going on. We're setting aside tomorrow time for those of you who are out in the hinterland, who never make it in, who think, well, what would I have to say? Well, I'm just little old me. What could I possibly say? Well, you could say something that not only would bless those who listen, but might publicly glorify the Lord. And we're going to give you a chance to be able to do that tomorrow. Maybe for the first time publicly, you're going to stand up for the Lord. So don't miss it tomorrow. In fact, we're prepared to go a little bit longer if we need to. This is not going to be tied up here. We're going to let you log on, and we'll have the phone set up. So if you can't get on, you don't have a camera, but you want something to say, we're going to give you a phone number that you can call. And we just want to expand our territory here a little bit tomorrow. That's what we want to do. Y'all with me? All right. Tim, I'm not ready for you yet, man. I know you're going to give it to us here. Good. I got to show you this video. Yeah, I want to show. Hey, Jared, go to Black Voters. I want to show you something here. I saw this yesterday. It blew me away. I'm going to show this about a 5-minute video by a guy named Ami Horowitz. Stay right there a second, Jared. It's 4 minutes and 23 seconds. As you watch this, I want you to watch the prejudice that we all hold and we don't even realize it. Here's what Ami Horowitz did. We know that we can't have voter ID because those poor black people, well, they can't get an ID. Heck, most of them can't even read. And if you begin to think about our attitude, what we're thinking about black people, how dehumanizing is that? To think that a black person can't go get an ID. They can't. All black people are so dumb, they can't get an ID. So Ami Horowitz blows this to smithereens. Now, I want you to watch. It's 4 minutes. I want you to watch the hidden prejudice of white people, what we've been programmed to believe, and then watch the reality of what black people say. Okay? This is how they twist us hither and yon. Go ahead and play that, Jared. It's about four minutes, 23 seconds.
I'm Ami Horowitz, and I'm here in Berkeley, California, to find out if voter ID laws suppress the black vote. Do you have an opinion on voter ID laws?
Yeah, they're usually pretty racist and they're bad. I think voter ID laws are a way to perpetuate racism.
Would you go as far as to say those laws are racist?
For sure.
Do you think it suppresses the African-American vote?
Definitely. Because they're less likely to have state IDs.
Minority voters are less likely to have the kinds of IDs that have been described or required.
These type of people don't live in areas with easy access to DMVs or other places where they can get identification.
You can always get IDs you do over the internet. Does that also make it difficult for black people in particular?
Yeah, you have to have access to the internet. You have to be able to pay an internet service provider for certain fees.
Do you think that's harder for black people to go online?
Well, I feel like they don't have the knowledge of how it works.
A lot of people have smartphones, but you might not have data.
For most of the communities, they don't really know what is out there just because they're not aware or they're not informed. I also think there's a repression of black voting with how if you're a convicted felon, you're not allowed to vote and everything. And when you look at certain states like Florida, that's a huge population of the African American.
Pause that
now
second.
Now I'm here in East.
Do you get it? Do you get it? See, all blacks are too stupid to get IDs. All blacks are too poor to have internet. All blacks are criminals, felons. They can't vote. All black. This is what they've told us, right? This is the picture that the media has sold. Black Lives Matter, all that malarkey. We're about truth here, Pass the Salt. We're about truth. So Ami's now going to go into, he's going to go to New York City, and he's going to talk to some black folk. Let's go here.
Harlem to ask black people their thoughts on what you just heard. Do you have ID normally? You carry ID around?
Yes, I have state ID.
Do you carry ID?
Yes, I do.
Do you know anybody who, any black person doesn't carry ID?
No. Everyone that I know has an ID. Why would they think we don't have ID?
That's a lie. Why would they say that?
Do you have ID?
Yes.
Because I have my ID and my friends have their ID, so we know what we need to carry around.
Everybody that I know have ID. That's one of the things you need to walk around with New York with, an ID.
Do you know any black adult who does not have ID?
No, I don't.
Is it a weird thing to even say that?
Yes, it is.
What is this, some type of trick candy camera?
Right? That's the only thing I brought with me.
Those are legit IDs. I heard a lot also that black people can't figure out how to get to the DMV.
Really?
What does that say to you?
I know where that is, on 25th Street.
Do you know where the ID, the DMV is around you?
It's on 125th Street and 3rd Avenue, I believe.
You know how to get there?
Yeah.
Do you have a problem getting there if you have to get there?
No.
I know these sound like silly questions. You know how to get to the DMV?
Of course.
You know where it is?
Yes.
You can get there?
Uh-huh.
No problem.
No problem.
Just checking.
Okay.
And I also heard a lot that black people, especially poor black people, have no access to the internet, can't figure out how to use the internet.
That's just stupidity, honestly. Everybody has access to the internet. Even a little kid can figure out how to work the internet.
I had access to the internet for years.
You know how to use it properly,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I do it at work. So, of course, I know how to use it. Smart. My kids know how to use it. They all have iPads, iPods, whatever.
Your phone has data? Mm-hmm. You can actually
unlimited.
Unlimited data.
Mm-hmm. I use my phone as a hotspot.
What does that say to you for the people who have this perception of like?
They're pretty much ignorant. That's what my thought process is.
I just think that's ignorant.
Ignorant.
Ignorant. That's the word
I hear. Very,
very
ignorant. Very, very ignorant.
Does it sound racist for somebody to say that?
I think it is a little racist because, you know, you're putting people in a category and you have no idea what you're talking about.
Maybe a little bit of racist in it, but like I said, I think it's more stupidity and ignorance.
You're judging somebody, like, but you're judging them because they're black, saying that they don't got it.
What people are they talking to? Who are these people talking to?
Do you have a problem that if you go to vote and they say, can we please see your ID to make sure you are who you say you are? Are you
cool? Love showing my ID.
You have no problem with that?
Nope.
Would you have a problem if when you go to vote, if they say, can we please just see your ID to make sure you are who you say you are? Do you have an issue with that?
No.
Would you have a problem if there was a rule where you had to show your ID in order to vote?
I don't think so. No.
Would you have an issue if there was a rule saying you got to show your ID before you vote?
No.
Are you cool with that?
Yeah.
Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable. Again, the brainwashing that we have all received. So you go to this rich white university and all the young white kids have been convinced. They won't say it. They've been convinced that blacks are dumb. They don't know how to work the internet. They don't even have cell phones. They don't even know where to get an ID. Isn't that eye-opening? I mean, it opened my eyes because I'm thinking it's almost like the same thing. Voter ID. Oh, we can't make those poor people get IDs. They got little kids that got, I put my little, she in 18 months, my little granddaughter can get on this thing and she can play Elmo's song and she can hit the next one, hit the next one, hit the next one. But black kids, they don't know about that.
No.
We're so stupid. Yes.
We're the racist ones. You got to remember that. They're not the racist ones. We're the racist. Don't forget.
Yeah, but,
we're the racist. I don't want you to get confused back there. Just it's a great video. Okay. We're the racists.
We're calling them out, man.
Coach,
we're calling out these are the things we got to confront. Yes, ma'am.
They were from California.
Yeah.
They were half-baked. I'm sorry, Californian liberal. This is what they teach.
You have to understand that he asked the most stupidest people on earth.
That's right.
I've been through 2 wars in a Chinese rodeo. I've been around. I've done it all. And the college kids are the most stupid.
They are, Stephen. In fact, those kids, in Harlem. Those kids in Harlem said, are you stupid? Are you stupid? They're talking to these college kids, right?
And one of the problems, Coach, one of the problems with this, I relate everything back to the parents. Instead of getting that jackass kid some kind of stupid toy, do like my father did. Give him a shovel and tell him to get the hell out and dig a ditch. You won't have time to think of all this garbage. All you'll have time to do is make America great.
That's where the battle lies, baby. That's why I said I'm amping it up. I'm amping it up. And I don't care what they say. The future is at risk. Was that unbelievable to see those black kids call those college kids stupid? Because it's the truth. It's the truth. It was, in fact, the truth. Okay. Catching my breath. Man, I came out of the box swinging today, didn't I? It's all good. I came out swinging. And I want to leave us with some hope. I've asked Brother Tim. I'm not going to call you pastor anymore. Pastor Tim's been hammering on us about Romans 6, the importance of Romans 6 and how Romans 6 is going to set us free. Here's what I want to do, Rich. I want to be set free from the fear of man. Scripture says that the fear of man's but a snare. That's in Proverbs somewhere. The fear of man is a snare. And truth would be told, we fear man more than we fear God. That's our problem. That's our problem in America. We fear what other men are going to say to us. Jesus gave us fair warning on that. He said, right, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. He said, when you mention my name, they're going to start calling you names. They're going to say bad stuff about you. He said, on account of me, or for my sake, or for my name's sake. It's the name of Jesus that is automatically going to cause those swords to clash. Excuse me. It is the name of Jesus that ultimately makes the sparks fly. That it is the weapon that does it. See, it is. And so instead of us being surprised at the reaction, we need to become more entrenched and understand the weapons of our warfare and why it is important for us to engage. And our engagement is, if you, I was never in combat, but I bet you if I had been in combat, the last thing I'm worried about is hurting the other guy's feelings. I'm in Vietnam. I ain't worried about hurting that other guy. It's about self-preservation. And so guys are in Vietnam fighting for self-preservation, not just for them, but for those they love. So we are on a battlefield. We've been birthed on a battlefield here. In fact, we had somebody who invaded. We invaded the earthly realm. We brought a brand new nuclear weapon into our possession, and we don't even understand what the heck it is all about. We don't even get it. This nuclear force is now inside of us, and we cower and allow hell to run rampant across the world. And why? Because we can't wait to get to the great by and by, because Jesus loves us and he wants everybody to go to heaven with him. Well, he says he wills and wishes a none would perish. He wishes nobody would. But just wishing it doesn't mean it, because it's a choice. You have to make a choice as to whether or not you're going to let him reconcile your sins, or whether you're going to be on the outside looking in. You get to pay your own bill. I was watching last night, Highway to Hell. Somebody was singing that song, Highway to Hell. Do you understand what they're singing? Do they understand what they're singing? Are you kidding me? Wow. We've lost the fear of God. Okay, Sarge or Tim, I'm yielding to you today. Romans 6. Guys, this is our power. This is coming into the realization of not only why Jesus died, but what he transformed us into. Do you understand? The scripture says we will be transformed. That means we used to have this form, and now something's happened to us that we have an entirely different form. It's like you used to go to McDonald's with your kids, and you bought those things called Transformers. Do you remember those? They started out as just a little man, and then boom, you peeled this back. And next thing you know, you got this powerful thing. That's what's happened to us when Christ invaded this world and took residence inside of us. We've been transformed. Go ahead, Tim. I'll shut up.
Man, I don't think you should shut up. I think you're doing a great job this morning.
I'm handing it off. Hey, Tim, I never shut up. I'm handing it off.
A little tag team here, huh?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know what? If you got a Bible, can we? Can you read Galatians chapter 5?
Yes.
14 through 25?
I can. Galatians chapter 5?
Yep.
14 through 25.
25.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, but against the flesh. They are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under that law. What law? Law, sin, and death. Look, I get back to that. Now, the works of the flesh, here's how you see the works of the flesh. They're manifest. They're obvious. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, revelings, and such like. Some things he doesn't even mention, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such there is no law. There it goes again, that law of sin and death. No law against that. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Okay. Now go to Romans 6. Watch this. Man. Chapter 6:1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?
Amen.
No, that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We died when we were baptized in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are buried with him that through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Right? So now we have a whole new life. Now, jump down to verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. So every one of us who have been united with Christ, we have died, and we are now freed from sin.
Amen.
Freed from sin. And most pastors don't teach us. We have been freed from sin.
Has no hold on us anymore. Doesn't have any hold on us. We can still do it, but it doesn't have a hold on us anymore.
Exactly. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him.
Amen.
Verse 10. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives, I've heard pastors say, you got to die daily. So you don't die daily. You died once.
Amen.
Paul was talking about when he went out to preach the gospel, they tried to kill him daily.
If you got to die daily, you never really died.
Exactly. Now watch this verse 11. Likewise, you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, not let sin reign in your mortal body. They should obey it in its lust. Now watch this, verse 13. So simple. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead.
Amen.
And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. It's this simple, that if you want to walk in the Spirit, you don't yield your members to sin. If you walk in the flesh, you yield your members to the flesh. So we all have a sin nature, right? But the man that hated God, it says right here in 6, he was crucified, he died. So therefore, all you have is this tent of sin. So if you don't yield your members to sin, you get to walk in the Spirit all day long. Mm. I mean, a person can wake up every single morning and say, I choose today to walk in the Spirit. I'm not going to yield my members to sin. And therefore, they have the peace that passes understanding every single day, which makes us bold as lions. It's a person who's wishy-washy in their faith, thinking, oh my God, did I sin today? Did I drive 60 to 55 miles per hour? What have I done today? They don't understand the Scriptures. So my point is, now all I've done is just cracked a nut real quick. This is just a quick nutcracker. Now, once a person understands what happened to them in Christ, that they died, they've been resurrected to new life, not yielding their members, every single morning they can wake up and say, I'm going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not yield my members. It is that simple.
So Tim, why, folks, come on here. Why does God need us? Well, he doesn't really need us, except we are his change agents in the world. We are. He is living through us, and we are the ones who will affect the change. We are the ones, him working through people. And there is not one sin that you will ever engage in that you don't do by choice. Every sin you do is by choice.
Are we the salt of the earth or not?
I think
pass
we are.
Pass the salt.
Hey, Tim, you know what? It doesn't matter whether we think we are or not. He told us we were. He told us that we were. And he also told us this, that if you become good for nothing, you're just going to be cast out. You're still salt, But you're going to have to figure out whether you're going to be effective salt or whether you're going to be trodden over salt. That's really the only two choices that we have. And that decision is just the same as sinning. You make a decision to open your mouth and say, thus says the Lord. That is a choice that you make every day. You make a choice when you click on pornography. You make a choice when you turn on and vegetate in front of the television. You make a choice. And what has happened to us, those of us who are born again of the Spirit of God should not be so sin conscious as we should be righteousness conscious. We should be living in a state of righteousness so that when sin enters in, it is an invader and we recognize it immediately. That's what the birth and death of Jesus Christ did, gave you victory over sin so that you can become a more righteous piece of salt. Am I on target, Tim?
Excellent. Watch this now. I love this. Chapter 8, verse 1. So if we're walking in the Spirit, right, simply understanding who we are in Christ, 8:1 of Romans says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation. Can you imagine waking up every single day and saying, I have no condemnation. I'm 100% cleansed.
Amen.
I'm 100% free. Can you imagine how we could go out into the world and preach, lead our family to the Lord, our co-workers? We could stand there and they could say, yeah, but you're a sinner. Absolutely. You know, you hear a story. I used to tell people all the time when I was younger, I had the gene of fornication. And they say, what?
We all did.
I had gene fornication, right? Oh, gosh. So anyway, either we can get healed by the scriptures or we can go and watch Dr. Phil and Oprah.
That's right. Hey, guys, listen. I don't want you to miss this. This is so critical. Tim brushed over it, and it resonated in my spirit. It just resonated, Tim, when you said that. We're no longer in bondage to sin. Bondage to sin means you can't get away from it. We're no longer like that. I look at my own life. I'm not in bondage to sin. I'm still tempted to sin. Still tempted to. But if I sin, it's a decision I made. The thing has no power over me anymore. We just read that in Galatians. It has no power over me at all. Absolutely no power over me. But we are being taught a false gospel again, right? My Catholic teaching, I sin every day in thought, word, and deed. And there's mortal sins and venial sins. We sit around, we worry, oh, is this sin? Am I having up that Christmas tree? Is that sin? Is this sin? Is this sin? See, here's what will happen to you. The Holy Spirit, the word condemnation there in Romans 1, there is now therefore no condemnation. Okay, somebody help me here. Words mean things. Larry, what does it mean to be condemned? In a legal term, what does it mean to be, he can't hear me for some reason. What does it mean to be condemned? Well, if you are condemned, you go stand before a judge and judgment comes. You are condemned. You are ordered to death. That is not the same as convicted. Because when you go to the judge, now think about this. Think about a murder trial in your neighborhood or in your city. They have a trial, and at the end of the trial, the gentleman is convicted. And then, 3 weeks later, they have the sentencing. So he was convicted. And 3 weeks later, condemned. There is now, therefore, no penalty phase to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? You will constantly be convicted. That spirit will, the Holy Spirit will constantly convict you of your sin. In other words, expose and find you guilty of your sin. But praise the Lord, there's no penalty phase associated with it unless we continue in that. Am I making sense? Am I making sense?
Oh, hey, you said it this morning. Reconciliation. Somebody paid the price.
That's right.
We've been set free.
So I don't have to pay the price. And so the difference in this is condemnation sounds like this. Rich, you've lost your stinking mind. You used to be the life of the party, and people used to love to being around you. Now you become so daggone religious and hypocritical, nobody even wants to be around you. They don't even want to come here for Christmas. That's condemnation. You know what conviction sounds like? Hey, Rich, good job, but maybe you need to soften that message a little bit with Tim. Maybe he's not quite ready to receive that yet. You're doing the right thing. You're going about it right. But just maybe change your approach. So you hear the difference between a condemnation, you are wrong, you are full of crap, and hey, tighten it up a little bit here. Sharpen your message a little bit here. Because we are always going to be continually convicted or coached by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. But there's no condemnation. The Holy Spirit will never come and beat you over the head and tell you what a fool and what a piece of crap you are. He will never do that. But he'll convict you. Sorry, hey, Rich, you could have done that better, man. It's okay. It's okay. You could have done that better. Next time, do this. You understand the difference, folks? Do you understand? And see, the only reason people hate conviction is it feels like condemnation. They know they deserve punishment. Rich, I know I deserve punishment. But the price has been paid. There's no condemnation. I got a second chance. But see, we got a lot of people who are walking under a gospel that has taught them, do whatever you want to do. There's no condemnation. It's all good. And if you are listening to the Holy Spirit of God, the precious Holy Spirit, he's going to convict you and get you back on course. A couple minutes left. I thought that's a pretty good picture right there.
Hey, you want to hear one last thing?
Sure.
Verse 2 says this, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
That's right.
You're set free.
Hey,
set
Tim.
Free.
What's the law of sin and death?
Well,
the soul that sins, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. That's the law. But Christ, because he reconciled us to himself, has made us free from that law. Isn't that great? That's the gospel message. That's the gospel. Unfortunately, truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. Those who don't have the Holy Spirit take any criticism as condemnation. Who are you to judge? No, you judged already. I'm trying to show you the way out of this mess. That's a Christmas message. If I was standing in the pulpit this Christmas Sunday, that's the message I'd be preaching. Not Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's not the message I'd be talking about. I'd be talking about why was he wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger? What does that mean for me and you? And I'm going to tell you, it isn't merely salvation. It's empowerment to rise above the law of sin and death, that you no longer have to live down in the pig pen. You no longer have to live in the gutter. You no longer have to cower and be afraid. You are a dead man. Let Christ, who lives inside you, glorify himself through you. It's not about you being saved and going to heaven. Okay, so tomorrow morning, I want to see some new faces here in the queue. We're going to tip off at 7 o'clock. And we're going to just open it up. The phone lines are going to open up the queue in here. Let all of you jump in here. And we want to hear from you. Maybe what Christmas, what miracle, what would you like to testify and brag on the Lord about in your life? We're going to give you a chance to do that to thousands tomorrow right here on our queue. So the link, you'll go to CoachDaveLive.com. There'll be a little link on the side. It says join the huddle. You click on that, you'll need a, if you're going to try to get in the huddle, you're going to need a camera and a microphone so we can hear you. But other than that, we're just regular people sitting here, and we would love, would love to be able to hear from you. And the best news of all, spring's just around the corner. Amen. Hey, it's Tim. Thanks for that teaching. I know you got more to it. I thank God today that there's therefore now no condemnation to me, because I'm in Christ. I've been crucified with Christ, and I don't walk after the flesh, but I walk after the Spirit. And that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Boy, if that don't make you say Merry Christmas, I don't know what does. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.